Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Monday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Pip Printing and Signs, reliable service for every business need. Long story short, you have a message. Your business wants to get customers in the door. How do they do it? You do it with marketing materials. You do it with impactful signage. You do it with, you know, the way you present your business through social media. Guys, all of those things revolve around your printing. And if you're a business and you don't have the best working for you in your printing, for doing your printing, then you don't have a chance. So that's why you need to talk to our friends at Pip Printing and Signs. Call Cam Baker today at 601-499-5216. Tell him you heard about him on Thunder and Lightning. Don't forget, if you're a Bulldog fan, 10% of your sale goes directly to the Bulldog Initiative in your name. When you need printing, call Pip today. College Corner. CollegeCornerStore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for, and you certainly are going to be looking for it. Guys, this new logo, you got to get on board, all right? We got to get these banner M's out. I saw that Mississippi State did this collaboration with Lululemon. I was actually excited about that. Not that I would wear it, but my youngest daughter loves the Lulu. Jennifer would wear the Lulu, but I'm not buying that. It's all banner M.
Here's what I said that is equivalent to.
Yeah.
You know when you walk into Spencer's and they have like, you know, I'm training to be a cage fighter kit,
yeah,
from Napoleon bumper sticker.
Yeah.
That is what equates to putting the banner on that kind of gear.
Yes,
it's tacky. It looks bad.
Yeah,
sorry. When I saw that initially, I was like, oh, cool collaboration. And then you just plaster that.
Yeah, it's over.
Over it.
It's over. So,
and that's not the athletic department, by the way.
So that being said, what I have to do is I will go to College Corner and I will place an order there, and I will get some cool state script or interlocking MSU gear sent right to my door. At collegecornerstore.com, or I can shop either location. Ridgeland and by Fleet Feet, followed by the Half Shell. Restaurant Tyler, Starville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch. Best meal in town is at Restaurant Tyler. My wife and daughter Aislinn just got back from Sunday brunch at Restaurant Tyler, and they said it was fantastic. So the place was busy, as you would imagine, but the people were nice and the food was awesome. The best Sunday brunch in town, right there at Restaurant Tyler. And it's the best lunch in town. It's the best dinner in town. Whenever you want to eat a great meal, it's an easy choice. Head over to Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide. Show you not only where those locations are, but how they're going to help you invest, how Priority One can help manage your money and help you prepare for the future. Nowadays, when you have questions about your money, you can't afford to wait around. You got to get those questions answered quickly. Who do you want to deal with? Your local bank that knows you by name and knows your family and is in your community, or a big bank that's, you know, going to put you in on a 1-800 number with somebody who's never met you and never will. Feels like an easy choice to me. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Texas A&M 34, Mississippi State 24. I said yesterday on the postgame show, Robbie, we get our share of predictions wrong. We get our share of predictions right. Very rarely are we as on the money as we were yesterday. That game played out almost exactly like I thought that it would. And I think you would say the same. That State had some big plays, had a chance to be in the game, but in the end, A&M just better, and A&M just better where it counted. Robbie will tell us more about that right now because he's got something to say. Tell him, Falk.
Well, we're kind of in the in between.
Yeah, we're getting there. We're getting there.
It's at the point now, and you can kind of see it on the players' faces. Even Jeff Lebby. I mean, it's just they really need a win. It's kind of wearing on them, I think, a little bit. You practice hard all week. You fight during the games. You play really hard. You leave it all on the field, and you're still losing. Mm-hmm. And for them, it's not, oh, we were close against Georgia and Texas. We were close against Texas A&M. It's not that for them, because they believe they can win these games.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Lebby is telling them they can win these games. It's instilled in them they can win these games. They are not into the moral victory thing like, you know, and I wouldn't say we are, but at this stage, I think it's like you look at the little wins when you can get them. And yesterday, it was kind of like a little wins thing throughout the game.
Yeah.
Got an interception. That. You finally forced a punt. You know, you had some success running the football. You had a couple of big plays. You scored points. But at the end of the day, it's all about, for this team moving forward, finding that win to get over the hump. And I look at the schedule moving forward, I think there are two or three more wins at least on the table for Mississippi State. I really do. If State plays like they have been the last few weeks, there are very gettable games for Mississippi State down the stretch here. And I did not leave that game yesterday feeling worse about Mississippi State.
Mm-hmm.
For three straight weeks now, I have felt better about the program moving mm-hmm. forward. Now, giant, massive, fat elephant in the room. This defense is the absolute worst in Mississippi State history, bar none, no questions asked. Worst defense from a talent standpoint that I've seen in a long time. The coaching's bad. Everything's bad about it. There is no there's no room for any kind of other interpretation other than this defense is absolutely awful. And they are 125th to 133, whatever, however many teams there is, in almost every statistical category on defense. The third down conversions yesterday were absolutely unbelievable. I'd never seen anything like that on third downs. They started the game 9 for 11 on third downs. I had this stat yesterday. 146 yards came on third downs on 11 plays. Their other 13 plays at the time, no, there were only 32 plays at the time, they'd given up 113 yards. So first and second down, no problem for Mississippi State. Third down, couldn't get off the field.
Right.
And to me, that's just it just boils down to the fact that Mississippi State's coaching is not good on that side of the ball. They're not, it doesn't look like they're all on the same page. Doesn't look like they're not calling the right calls at the right time. But also the talent level is just not there, and it starts on the line of scrimmage. Mississippi State doesn't have the dudes. So I think there's a collection of a lot of things. I'm not going to point the blame at any one person, any one player, but there are a lot of issues. And to pay someone $1 million that has a defense that's ranked at 125 or worst
mm-hmm.
is like taking a $1 million bill, if there was one, and running it through the shredder. That's where Mississippi State is right now. They're throwing money away on that side of the ball. And I'm not saying that, you know, Nick Saban can come in here and make Mississippi State top 10. I think they would still be struggling on that side of the ball. But really good coaching could at least get you inside the top 100. Could at least get you off the field on third down consistently. State doesn't have that. And to me, I think all the signs are there. There's going to have to be some massive changes on that side of the ball. And if there isn't, if you're running it back with what you got, I have some major concerns with decision-making within this program. So that's still a few weeks away. I don't think anything's going to be done about that right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think there's any question, after what we've seen through seven games, that Mississippi State's got to change a lot on that side of the ball.
Yeah.
And to me, I mean, I've seen the arguments. Texas A&M held Mississippi State, I think, under 100 yards in the second half. State couldn't really do much on offense. That's what Texas A&M does. This is a top 25 defense. This is one of the best defensive lines in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Mississippi State wasn't good in the second half against a great defense. Still scored 24 points. If you score 24 points in a game, you should be in the ball game. The underlying factor in all these losses is Mississippi State's defense. Mm-hmm. And to give up 34 points, that's just not good enough to win a game like this. So I don't have a lot of things to be upset about this team. I think the offense is moving in the right direction. Even if they weren't great in the second half, you have to consider the circumstances, what you're going up against, what you got. I think the offense showed some exciting things, but the defense is just, it's beyond anything I've ever seen at Mississippi State. It's one of those deals where you're just sitting there. I looked at you yesterday right before that possession that they got the interception, I said, they just need a turnover. I mean, it's basically down to you're hoping the other team makes a mistake because you're not forcing a whole lot of punts. So, you know, defense just, it is what it is. It's kind of depressing knowing that unless there's some kind of, like, screw-up by the other team, they're going to drive down the field and score points. That's kind of where you are with this defense. So that's the only side of the ball right now that I'm just truly concerned about and believe that it's kind of helpless this year.
There's no question about it whatsoever that you're correct. That offensively, there are some issues. Offensively, there are some problems, obviously, on the offensive line. But State has done enough offensively this season to win more games.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk a little bit more about that in just a minute. So this defense is the overriding issue for this team. You know, and it's kind of funny if you just look at the stat sheet and you don't really look too deep into it, you're like, well, they didn't give up a ton of yards yesterday. And then you find out that, you know, two scoring drives for A&M started inside MSU's 35. So they got every yard they could. You know, basically State couldn't get stops and couldn't get stops when they needed them. And then in the second half, the defense did play a little bit better, but, you know, when they absolutely needed a stop, they struggled to do that.
And they're playing hard. Like,
it's not an effort issue, yeah.
No, like, I really do believe that those guys are giving it 100%.
I will say this. Against Toledo, I didn't believe that.
No. It is a defense that, from a individual standpoint, they've gotten better just from, you know, whether it be tackling or, you know, getting to the ball and all that. I think that these guys are playing hard. They're doing the best that they possibly can. But I just don't think the talent's there, and I feel like I don't know what State's identity is on the defensive side of the ball. You know, it feels like I look down there and they're misaligned, or there's guys running around. They had a substitution infraction that gave him a first down and then almost had another one on the very next play. I mean, it's completely disjointed.
Yeah. So.
But this is what happens when you hire someone that's never coached that position before.
When you are a first-time head coach, you really need to put some experience on the other side of the ball. You really need.
Even more baffling is the contract.
Yeah. You and I were just talking about Deshaun Watson before we got on, and how about the Browns were bidding against themselves? Who was trying to snag Coleman Hutzler?
Like, did he demand that? Like, is that like?
I mean, that's where you would go. Well, we can't do that.
It's just impossible to convince me that State couldn't go get a Group of Five defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
That's done this before.
Yeah.
I understand what Lebby was thinking is you're getting a guy that's done. A lot of good things from a recruiting standpoint in this league. He knows how to win those battles. He's coached in this league. He's coached under some really good defensive coordinators. But
does he know how to win those battles?
I think he's won recruiting battles. Here? I mean, no, in the league.
That's all. But yeah, when you're at Alabama, it's easy.
No, it is. It is totally easier. But if you can recruit, you can recruit.
Yeah.
So I feel like. I didn't think that you had to go out there and get a guy that's never done this before, give him $1 million a year in a 4-year contract. I don't understand that. But here we are.
There you go. All right.
It's working out about like a lot of people predicted. Yeah.
Let's move into the rest of the show that's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. I could go for a steak. I'll be totally honest with you.
What else is new? I mean, that's any day we could go for a steak.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. There are some days where I'm like, I go for some fried chicken or go for some catfish or something. But, yeah, steak is usually number one. And there's a reason for that, and it should be for you. So anytime you're firing up the grill, nothing beats the sizzle of beef. And anytime you're going out to eat, going to one of our great steakhouses across the state of Mississippi is always the best possible choice. Whatever meal it is, beef should be a part of it. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for. And I know that you are looking for it. And, of course, don't forget the Older Brother. I dined at the Older Brother on Friday. Fantastic. always great. It's incredible how, you know, that's such a small place. It's always packed, but the service is always great. Like, they are moving in there. So I want to give a shout out to those guys who are working in the kitchen and working as waiting tables. They are doing a fantastic job of keeping your experience awesome at the Older Brother. It's the same way at Two Brothers. No matter how busy it is, you're always going to have a great experience, great service, and of course the food is fantastic. Two Brother Smoke Meats, the Older Brother, right there in the Cotton District, two of the best restaurants in Starkville. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing that for 50 years.
50! 50!
That game's coming up. Ole Miss, Arkansas. That's 2 weeks from now.
Yeah. Always a crazy one.
It always is. And there is no crazy when you deal with Advantage Business Systems. It's all simple. You make a phone call. You tell them, hey, I need a new copier. I need a new printer. They deliver. They set it up. And then, you know, down the road, hey, that copier, something's wrong. Well, who do we call? You call the same people. You don't have to deal with somebody else. You don't have to deal with somebody you've never met. You're talking to the people who made the sale with you. You have that relationship. They make it easy. And because they're in Mississippi, a lot of times your problems can be solved by the end of the next day. What business can afford a copier to not be working for a week? I mean, raise your hand if that's you, because I want to know. You shouldn't have to do that. You don't with Advantage Business System. 601-362-9192. Or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Maroon & Company. Maroon & Co. is the place to go here in Starkville. Before you go to the games, you need to go to Maroon & Co. A friend of mine yesterday was talking about she wanted to get her son a Michael Van Buren jersey, and I was like, well, I know a place where you can get them, and I know a place where I can save you 15% on that purchase. And so I believe that purchase. And she was like, do they have an online presence? And I was like, yes, they do. So good, we're good. We're good to go there. So take it away from there. Maroon & Company has the selection like nobody else, the best name brands, and of course, more importantly, they have styles and that you can't find anywhere else. No other store that sells Mississippi State gear has the selection that Maroon & Company does. So check them out. Next time you're in Starkville, head over to Maroon & Co. This was a pretty joyless sports weekend. Very little joy. Steelers play what, tonight?
Yeah, they play tonight against the Jets.
So you still got a shot. I got nothing over here.
Tom Ebel. I'm almost at the point where, like, Tom Ebel needs a win. Am I willing to sacrifice that for a friend?
Let Tom Ebel's wins come from the Mets.
That's true.
That helps everybody.
That is true, because so I absolutely despise the Dodgers.
Oh, congrats, by the way. Back in the series, Yankees fan over here.
Yeah, I can't even enjoy one of my teams winning because immediately people are like, Yankees fan.
I'm not that kind of person.
The Yankees haven't done anything of substance for 15 years. Can I please enjoy them being in the World Series?
You can enjoy.
Like, they're no longer the Yankees. I know people think
it's not 1963 anymore.
It's not. Yeah. The playing field's leveled out. Aaron Judge is what he is. But
they're a good team.
They're a good team.
I wish he was a Giant, but oh well. I texted a friend of mine last night who's a big Yankees fan. Actually grew up in the Bronx. Like, congrats, you know, please beat the Dodgers. And he's like, oh, hey, thanks, man. We'll do what we can. By the way, I want Safari in Botswana.
What?
It's like, I just
killed a lion.
Yeah. So he's a State fan. His girlfriend is a Florida State fan. He lives in Tallahassee. So I was like, you'll just do anything to escape State and Florida State. He's like, God, yes.
So go to a Safari.
The deepest, darkest Africa to get out of there.
So. Fighting mosquitoes bigger than your head.
I was like, don't kill anything endangered. He's like, I'll try. time for These Are the Things That Are True, which of course are brought to you by our friends over at Bell Building Supply, the Golden Triangle's platinum Big Green Egg dealer. Guys, if you are like me and you like getting out in the backyard and cooking, the Big Green Egg is got to be what you're putting your meat on every single week. That is a cooking machine. Makes it so easy. Everything is perfect on there. Doesn't matter what you want to do. You want to cook a pork butt low and slow, you can do that. Do you want to cook some steaks quickly and sear them? You can do that. You can get that thing hot enough to cook a pizza in there on the pizza stone. Anything you want to cook out, the Big Green Egg can handle it. Call our friends over at Bell Building Supply today. If you're in the Golden Triangle, they will deliver to your front door if you are in the Golden Triangle and you want to buy a Big Green Egg from them. Bell Building Supply, they sponsor These Are the Things That Are True. I got 8 of them today.
All right,
let's jump right in. Number one. I don't have any way of quantifying this other than, you know, I'm not, you know, the eye test is kind of falling off. I understand analytics, but this has to be the worst team in the country on the line of scrimmage, both sides. There can't be a team that's as bad on the offensive line and the defensive line as Mississippi State, at least in Power Four football.
No, it's, and that, unfortunately, that's where people win games, is the line of scrimmage. So it's not a good spot to be. I mean, Michael Van Buren was harassed all day by the defensive line.
Yeah.
They decided, we're just going to pin our ears back.
Second half, they were like, let's go.
Yeah. Don't give this guy any time. The wide receivers were good enough to get down the field, get open, things mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. So they just decided, we're just going to win up front. And I think that's going to be probably the idea from just about everybody. I will say, I think the run blocking has gotten better.
It has. The first half especially was really good.
Yeah.
They did good.
I mean, because it wasn't just like, you know, slipping through tackles or anything like that. There were some holes for Johnny Daniels and Davon Booth. Mm-hmm. But the pass blocking is just absolutely atrocious. And, you know, it is unfortunate for State trying to outscore people at this point, you know, score in the 40s. It's going to be difficult because teams are just going to come after Van Buren, and he's taking a lot of hits too. He took a lot of hits.
He did
on Saturday. You got to keep him pretty healthy.
Really, really good game planning there by Texas A&M. They didn't have any, you know, they made it pretty easy on themselves, right? They're like, we're going to load the box and pressure the hell out of this kid and do what we can. I don't, 4 or 5 deflected passes on top of the sacks.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, also did a great job. That State was running the ball really effectively in the first half. We finally got to see Devon Booth and that explosiveness that we knew he had. But in the second half, they just took it away. And that's number two, is that A&M's adjustments are the difference in this game. Whatever they changed at halftime, those decisions won the game for them. Because State was moving the ball really effectively in the first half and then just couldn't in the second half. And this is what I said in post game. I said they couldn't get both sides of the ball on the same page. When the offense was clicking, the defense was not. And in the second half, when the defense made a couple of stops, the offense couldn't really do anything with them. And the only exception was the short field they got after the Tillman interception. But by and large, State couldn't put both sides of the ball together at the same time. Whereas A&M in the second half just kind of, you know, offensively wasn't great. But defensively, they were just dominant in that second half, and that's the difference.
Yeah, and I've seen some people saying the offense is the reason that they lost, but that the second half is, you know, man on man. That's just a much more talented team versus a team that just doesn't have the horses right now. So State scoring 24 points in the game, if you look at it in its totality offensively, mm-hmm. you had more yards than they did. You scored 24 points. You rushed for over 100 yards. It's very difficult to rush for over 100 yards against that defense. Mm-hmm. The offense did a good job. The second half, obviously, it was what it was, but that's just a team that's got a solid defensive coordinator and a defensive-minded head coach with 5-star talent mm-hmm. across the board and one of the best pass rushers in the entire league.
Yeah, people forget that, you know, that A&M recruiting class, what was it 2 years ago, that we kind of made fun of because, you know, they were obviously all NIL guys, and Fisher didn't want to admit it. Only Walter Nolan left.
Yeah,
the rest of those defensive linemen are still there.
And Nick Scorton is a transfer, but he's a College Station guy. He came from Bryan, which is right next door. So, you know, that's basically the one guy, if I'm not mistaken, that's the one guy that they brought in.
Mm-hmm.
And elite pass rusher with other elite defensive linemen. This is an NFL defensive line.
Mm-hmm.
And State just couldn't handle it, which is, I mean, it was expected for me. Like, I thought State could score in the 20s. They mm-hmm. scored about what I expected them to score.
Yeah.
They did what they needed to do.
I think you said 28, and I said 27. So
yeah, 37-28 is what I said.
I said 41-27. You weren't that far off.
But to me, the difference was those third down conversions.
Mm-hmm.
Think about if they were 5 of 14, which is, I think they finished 9 of 14. Mm-hmm. What if they were 5 or 14? What if you stopped them on 4 possessions?
If you stop them on the 3rd and 23,
yeah.
I mean that's a backbreaker. So yeah,
if you take away 4 third down conversions, take away 3, Yeah. I think it's a totally different game.
Yeah.
That first half was just – you just couldn't get off the field.
Yeah. Number three, Van Buren is really, really good. That's the key, is to build around him. I'm hopeful that Caleb Cunningham being here, and Caleb Cunningham throughout this recruiting process to me seems like he's a little smarter than he talks about stuff that makes sense, right?
Yes.
Like he goes to Alabama and he sees what they're doing there. I'm like, okay, you know, he didn't fall.
He literally said after an Auburn game, I didn't see what I needed to see.
Right. He has to be able to see with Van Buren. He's like, man, him and Craver, and if Coleman comes back, there's something there. So I'm hopeful. You know, there was an article, I think it was Chad Simmons who said, because he was here this week, he said they're chipping, he feels like they're chipping away a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then with Alabama struggling a little bit, you know, the window is cracked open there. I don't know if they can get through it or not. One thing that did concern me, and it's not really a thing that's true, is we talked a little bit this offseason about we thought State was deep at receiver, but it feels like they're not. It feels like it's Coleman, Craver, and Akari. And then you'll see Mosley some, Stonka played a little, but like when Craver got hurt, Jaden Wally was out there.
Well, the problem is
in a different number, which confused the hell out of me, by the way.
I mean, had they had their numbers, they would be deep, but yeah. Trent Hudson's decided to opt out.
And Creed Whittemore's
decided to opt out. Yeah. And then you have your slot guy goes down.
Yeah.
Well, that's three pretty big pieces.
If Craver goes down, Whittemore's like the first guy off the bench if he's playing.
Yes.
So it's just
I don't understand what's going on with Creed.
Why he's still out there?
There's some things I understand about it, but at the same time, it's just to me, I feel like I can see what the end result is here, mm-hmm. that he's going to enter the transfer portal, because otherwise I don't understand any other reason for him to redshirt.
Right.
It doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, they need him out there.
And it's you look at it just for what it is. He's decided to redshirt.
Mm-hmm.
That is – do you want that in your locker room? Like a guy that – I mean,
that's
let's just
thing.
Call it what it is. That's quitting on your team.
Yeah,
it's wanting to sit out for your best interest, which is perfectly fine. Mm-hmm. If that's what you've decided to do, that is your right to do it. We've given power to the athletes, and they have the opportunity to sit or redshirt when they want to, or transfer or whatever. And I totally get it. If he's wanting to transfer, that's fine. But he's telling people that he's going to stay. So I don't understand quite what's going on here with the Creed Whittemore situation. If he's going to be here next year, I would like to have a logical response to why is he redshirting? Mm-hmm. Because it's wide open now. And when he was playing, I mean, it's not like he was only playing, you know, five snaps.
Yeah.
I know people wanted to see him more, but he was still playing a good bit. So I don't understand the whole situation. And he's on the sidelines. He's in the building every day. That's great if he's going to come back or whatever. But it's just kind of a weird thing to me.
Yeah.
And now you're sitting there with, you know, their depth starting to dwindle a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean,
I Craver, that the way he went down. I don't know. We'll see.
Are we doing Coleman at the slot or what?
I think you go Coleman in the slot with Akari and Mosley to start.
I mean, Coleman's been playing outside.
Yeah.
He's perfectly capable of playing the slot, actually.
Yeah, that's
might
where
be
go.
A good spot
that's
for him.
Where, you put Mosley on the other outside, and if Craver's out.
Mosley's disappeared.
Yeah, yes. He had that great first couple games, and then that was it.
What's happened?
But I think part of that is Akari emerging. Stepped up, which is fine. And then Stonka's got to figure something out, because they need him out there on the field. We'll see. Let's move.
Yeah, I think he's just kind of like freshman Wall.
Yeah, he'll be fine.
He's looking really good on special teams.
Yeah.
He's a heat-seeking missile on punt returns.
Yeah.
Or punting.
Right.
We don't hardly see any punt returns.
Very rare. Number four. It only took seven games, but finally the running game showed us something. But, and this is just me, when it doesn't seem to have an answer to whatever Texas A&M did. Like, if teams load the box, I understand it's more difficult to run, but you got to figure something out. State can't get wide on runs for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
They don't run a lot of sweeps. They show a lot of jet motion, but they never use it. Like very rarely they've done some end of rounds, but they haven't done a lot of jet sweeps, which is kind of odd. Like with Craver, especially with his speed, I would, you know.
Which brings me to the question, why was that such a thing for Oklahoma's fans?
I need to go back and watch a couple Oklahoma games, I guess.
I just don't remember.
They called him Jet Lebby.
Do you think they're a little upset?
We'll get to that. We will get to that.
I want to see more from Michael Van Buren in the read option.
There were some times he could have kept.
And I get it. Like, I think he's probably a more swift, elusive runner than Chapin. But one thing that Chapin had on him is, I think, the ability to pull it, mm-hmm. to give whatever, to read the...
Chapin was a little more adventurous in the run game, we'll say that.
Yeah, and there's opportunities there for Van Buren. There's opportunities for him to pick up more grass mm-hmm. when he's sliding. Mm-hmm. So that's definitely a work in progress for him that I think is really going to evolve in his game.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the run game as a whole, yeah, it would be nice to see, you know, maybe a couple of off-tackle runs. It seems like everything's kind of like dive, you know, in between guards, up the middle kind of stuff. And they got stuffed on a couple of those plays. Like, I think that the running game can definitely evolve. And it might be a personnel thing, too.
Mm-hmm.
That might be part of it. They might not feel good about their tackles blocking or their wide receiver blocking on the edge or tight ends. I don't know. But, yeah, it seems like we see a lot of designed runs up the middle instead of finding some room on the outside. And I don't know. I think that the running game is something that has grown, still has a lot of room to grow.
Mm-hmm.
But last few games, it's certainly been much better. And you've gone up against probably three of the top five defensive lines in the SEC,
mm-hmm.
I would say. A little bit different, all of them, in what they do. But from a pure talent standpoint, outside of Ole Miss, that's the best three you could probably see in the SEC. Texas, yeah. Georgia,
yeah.
and Texas A&M.
Yeah, no question. I haven't mentioned the fake punt. I feel like we could do a whole show on that, but
that I didn't.
We'll get to it, I guess, when we talk about defense a little bit.
Okay.
Number five, State can beat Arkansas. State can win this game. I haven't locked in on my prediction yet.
Me neither.
I'm leaning to take a State. My inner voice will maybe talk me out of it by the time we get to Friday. But right now, if you said put your money on something, I mean, State is an 8-point underdog. I would just put my money on State money line.
And Arkansas, I think, kind of came back to earth a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But well, this is a much better team.
Yeah.
This team is significantly better than last year.
Arkansas and State are kind of the same team in that they play good enough in some games, but they can't win them. Like, yeah. Arkansas has played good enough to beat Oklahoma State. They played good enough. Who is Arkansas? It was a couple weeks ago.
Well, they beat Tennessee.
They beat
two
Tennessee.
Weeks ago.
They played somebody
else. And
then
they had a bye last week.
They played somebody else I'm thinking of. It's Texas A&M.
Yes. A&M. They always find a way to lose that game.
They do. So they're better.
Their run game is their strength.
You can beat them, though.
Yeah.
And they can beat them.
I would sell out to stop the run.
Yeah, I would put everything.
And I'm going to make – I would do what they should have done against Arizona State.
I was just about to say, like, that should have been the game plan against Arizona State, and Hutzler didn't go that route.
I'm just going to sell out to stop the run, and yeah. if you hit a big play, hey, you're going to do it anyway.
And State should be able to score on them, too. So.
Oh, yeah. So, I think they have – I think they're still going to have like a little bit of a hangover too. Sorry,
that's really annoying.
You went. Well, I didn't mean to do that.
Yeah,
it just popped. I had them playing a little better than they did against LSU.
Mm-hmm.
I think we both still picked LSU.
We did,
but I thought they would come out and play that.
Yeah,
a little
I thought that
better
would be a trap game, and it would be really close.
And I thought LSU would be a little hungover from Ole Miss,
exactly.
But they. I mean, this looks like a team that's getting better.
Yeah, I agree.
Arkansas looks like a team that's a little up and down.
Yeah.
And I think that has to do a lot with quarterback play.
Mm-hmm.
His Taylen Green is kind of erratic.
Very much so.
He can compete with anybody in the country, but he could also lose to a lot of teams too. So if I'm State, I'm putting the game on his shoulders, and if you beat me, well, we'll just tip our hats to him. So,
there you go.
Yeah, I think this is definitely a winnable
game. Very winnable game. Number six, the other side of the coin here. The Toledo game has poisoned the well of this season. I view everything about this team through the lens of that game.
Mm-hmm.
Like I just keep going back to it over and over again in my head. I'm like, how did you not only lose that game, but got embarrassed in that game?
Just came
Toledo's
out
not even good.
Just came out and just laid an egg.
Like if you had lost to Army or Navy or something, I'd be like, all right, well, I get it. Everybody's losing. I mean, they're just not any good. And it, you know, it's just, and every time I think about this team, I'm like, if this team was 2-5, they had beaten Toledo. I think we were telling you, like, guys, they could somehow get to a bowl.
Get to a bowl, yeah.
But because they lost to Toledo, there are times where I'm just like, they might only beat UMass. I don't know for sure that they'll beat UMass because of the way they played in that game.
Yeah.
And so that is just everything I think about Mississippi State football this year goes through the Toledo game.
I think that State has turned a corner from that first part of the season. But I'm right there with you on that. I think what the problem that happened in that ball game, it was the same thing that happened against Arizona State. State started off so poorly on offense and put its defense in a bad spot. And once the snowball started rolling down the hill, you couldn't get it back. I think that was really the biggest issue. And the offense to me appears that it is feeling a little bit more cohesiveness. I know they gave up 11 tackles for loss on Saturday, a couple of sacks. The offensive line had its struggles for sure. But to me, that was just man-on-man. A&M was better. That's what I kind of chalk that up to. The offense, to me, the flow of it, the play calling, it's kind of getting its groove a little bit. I think people are getting they had the worries that I had preseason. They came to life in that first part that they were – They needed time to get together and come together as a team. And I feel like they're there now. So we'll see if that's the case. But it definitely kind of leaves you in the back of your mind thinking, you know, they could still lose this game or that, you know, they might – this is a winnable game, but they could definitely come into this ball game and lay an egg. And and the defense being as bad as it is, it makes that even more real because you just – you never expect the team to get a stop on single possession. Like, when you get a stop, it feels like a miracle.
Yeah. Speaking of that, number 7, you just cannot keep Hotzler. You cannot. There is no way to keep fans engaged in this team and believe you're moving forward and believe in your coaching staff if you keep this man. The State's defense is 125th, I think.
In total defense. And look at some of the other numbers.
I know that there is a talent deficiency, but it is not that big. It is not that big. This team is not so untalented that they can't be 80th in total defense, which ties into number 8 here, which is we were right when we said if they could just be 80th in defense, they'd be okay. If this team was 80th in defense, they would be at worst 4-3.
You beat Arizona State. You beat Toledo. You have a shot against Florida.
And you have a shot here. You probably win both those games because they're at home.
I mean, get off the field a couple of times against Georgia. If you just put that in a vacuum,
yeah. Georgia is one of the best teams in the country.
They probably would have found a way to win.
I won't get greedy,
but if you put it in a vacuum,
oh, you know, you're not
600
wrong.
Yards. You're make not wrong. It, make if, it 500
if
yards.
If you make it 450 yards instead of 41 points, it's 34 points. Well, that game is totally different. You just can't keep the man. I'm sure he's a nice guy. I enjoyed my conversations with him. I don't have any doubt that he works hard and that he's a good recruiter. And I don't have any doubt that he knows more about the game of football than I do. But the results, this is a results business that you get paid for results. There are no results. The results are bad. You have to move on at the end of the season. Because if you don't, and people are going to do this all offseason is question that. State could go out and get Caleb Cunningham and put together a tremendous transfer portal class and get everything, and you're like, you know, you go to the spring and Van Buren's slinging it around and everything looks great, and all everybody would be talking about is like, I can't believe they kept Hotzler. They're going to be terrible on defense. It's going to cost them wins.
Yep.
You got to move on.
You're going to deal with the exact same thing you're dealing with right now.
Yeah.
The defense next year is not going to be that much better if you keep it in its current state.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to get a tremendous amount of talent. You're not going to convince a whole lot of people to come here out of the transfer portal that are game-changing type players. You've already lost several guys, and some of those, you know, Kevontae Henry, it's Alabama versus Mississippi State. Which one are you choosing?
Right.
You know, let's just be real. You know, Stephen Miller, I don't know. I mean, USC to me is wasting more money than just about anybody in the country.
I think Stephen Miller is using USC as a tryout. Like,
yeah.
Go over there, be pretty good in Georgia.
Go Georgia. Yeah. Yeah, I could see that. Yeah. But the man's making $1 million. We got to get past, like, I know, like you said, like, sure, he's a nice guy, whatever. Like, we got to get past that. He's making $1 million a year.
Doesn't matter.
If we were making, think about it this way. If you and I were making six figures doing this, and all we ever did was, we just came in and we were just like,
a 10-minute podcast,
yeah.
And that was it. You get fired.
That is what's happening right here. Mississippi State is wasting money with this.
It doesn't matter that he makes $1 million a year. If you make
it does a little bit.
What I'm saying is, if you make minimum wage at McDonald's and you're the worst burger chef in the world,
yeah,
you get fired.
Yeah.
And that's
just my point is, like, these people are not above reproach.
No.
And at this point, athletes aren't either. Athletes are the money they're making paid. Now. It's we've gotten past all that.
Yeah.
But especially some of these coaches, the money they're making, if you're putting that kind of product on the field, mm-hmm. I mean, this is just it's embarrassing. I mean, it really is. It's embarrassing to watch every week. I mean, it looks like they're helpless.
Yeah.
They can't get off the field.
Yeah.
And if you can't get off the field against Toledo, I mean, what are we talking about here?
Right. All right, last one. We'll finish on a high note. I thought the 2014 stuff was great.
Yes.
I enjoyed the presentation. Enjoyed seeing all those guys. So happy they brought back the families of Daronya Wilson and PJ Jones, two guys we lost way, way too soon. But it also, it underlies a bigger issue. Or not issue is the right word. A bigger statement. And that is, under the right circumstances, you can win big at Mississippi State.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Lebby, Jeff Lebby and Michael Van Buren can do the things that Dak Prescott and Dan Mullen did. They can. But, you know, it takes some buy-in. Mullen was correct about you got to have the buy-in first. Everybody's got to get on the same page. And that's tough right now because, you know, what was the cost of going to a football game in 2009 versus 2024? It's different. I understand that. But you got to have buy-in from the top down. I don't know that State has that right now. And I mean that from the top down. But if they can put everybody on the same page, this program can be a big time program again.
And I'll take it a step further from just Lebby's side of the ball. They have the potential to take advantage of even more than what Dan Mullen did, because I feel like I truly believe this offense is capable of doing more against better than what Dan Mullen was able to do most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
This offense, we saw it at Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Dan Mullen never had a game like that
offensively
against a top-five team. Never. 2017 was as close as he got against Alabama.
Against a real top-five team. Like, against LSU and Auburn those years. But, like, a team that you knew at the end was going to be really good, never happened.
I mean, Alabama 2017 was as close as it got,
and even then they couldn't do they averaged like 3.5 yards a carry. They just had some success.
That Jeff Lebby's offense is capable of doing that against any team in the country,
mm-hmm.
and I really believe that he's going to have the guys in position on offense.
Yeah,
the difference for Mississippi State is, can they get what Dan Mullen got from the defensive side of the ball?
Yeah,
which, when you look at everybody he had coaching on the defensive side over his career,
mm-hmm.
is remarkable that State was able to do that almost every single year. Peter Sermon was the only guy, and Carl Torbush was not like this.
Yeah,
it was
much better.
It wasn't great, but it was much better.
Yeah,
Jeff Collins and Chris Wilson coached together one year.
I made the joke yesterday to you. I said, you know, it's too bad that I would tell you to get the guy who coached the defense in 2014 and tell him to put a headset on, but that's Jeff Collins, and he's not having a great year either.
Exactly.
So,
but yeah, I mean, it was can Jeff Lebby, the telltale is if Lebby goes in this off season and he says, "Thank you, Coleman, for everything you've done for us, but we have to move on."
Yeah.
If he does that,
then
everybody should be all in.
Everybody's going to start getting excited again.
Now, if he doesn't,
then
I think there's some major issues there.
Yeah.
That's playing buddies.
That decision has torpedoed this season.
Yes.
You would be in much better shape if you had hired, it feels like, almost literally anybody else.
If you would have hired anybody from the group of five that has done this before,
you'd be in better shape.
You got to think.
Yeah.
So, I mean, to me, I'm with you. It's all right there. It's all capable of being done here.
Mm-hmm.
Dan Mullen did it. It's not – don't listen to anybody that tells you you can't win at Mississippi State. That's a loser statement. That's people that don't have a clue that are putting together lazy takes for a living.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let anybody tell you that that can't happen. You can win at Mississippi State. You can win at places like Indiana. Look what Kurt Cignetti's doing right now. Mm-hmm. With the right people in place, with the right hires, with the right players, you can win anywhere. So that's a loser mentality. And Dan Mullen proved that wrong. The blueprint has been there, and I feel like Jeff Lebby can do the same thing here.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm all in on Jeff Lebby right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think that he's going to be successful at Mississippi State,
mm-hmm.
if he can, you know, put away the whole friendship thing and make the tough calls, make the right decisions. I think that you're looking at success on the way for Mississippi State. And it doesn't look like it right now on the surface for a lot of people when you look at it in states 1-6. But I think you just have to look a lot deeper where Mississippi State is, and you see what they're doing right now. They're playing solid football, at least on the offensive side of the ball, and they're playing hard on defense, which is a sign of a healthy program.
Yeah, I agree.
Also, just on the Mullen thing, guy could not have been more thrilled to be here.
He was happy.
I mean, you could just see it on his face. We talked to him. I was on the pregame show with Jason Crowder yesterday. We interviewed him, and he and Megan were riding over to a tailgate.
Mm-hmm.
And Megan had said on the phone, Dan's never tailgated in his life. Mm-hmm. Never been to a tailgate. And he was so pumped for that. You could just tell in how he talked. He did it in your interview with him, too.
Mm-hmm.
How he talked about Mississippi State, it just
– there
it warms him.
There is zero doubt in my mind that if there was a time machine, Dan Mullen would go back and not leave.
He would stay.
He would stay. He'd still be here. He'd still be here winning games.
He thought that was truly a grass is not always greener thing.
Yeah, he learned that lesson.
And I think he thought, you know, I can go win and win even bigger there.
Yeah.
But you can just tell, like, the way he's embraced here.
Yeah.
He'll
never go back to Florida and do anything like that.
No.
Yeah.
No. It was just a much better time for him.
I'm sure they'll do something where they bring back their national championship teams and he'll be there, but it will not be the same.
Mm-mm.
He'll just be like, just wave to the crowd and that'll be it.
I didn't hear a single boo.
No,
I didn't
that was hear great.
I mean, everybody, for the most part,
yeah.
I would probably say 90% of the people were happy he was back.
I agree. All right. It's important to remember your history like that. Let's talk about something else that's important.
Let's talk about something important. Put that coffee down. Coffee's for closers only.
Coffee is for closers is brought to you by Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffee House here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It would be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Adair.
That would be a little weird.
Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. Just click away. StrangeBrewCoffeeHouse.com.
I have a dare for you.
What is it?
Eat that gum under the table.
There's gum under the table?
No, I just made that up.
Oh. Like we're in high school here? There are people putting their gum down there? Both the offensive and defensive line, no coffee. I mean, they can't block and they can't stop the run. I don't know what to do.
That's not a good combination.
You cannot win football games when you are bad on the offensive and defensive line. It's just nearly impossible.
You can't do it.
So
Van Buren tried his best to be Mississippi State's Patrick Mahomes at the time yesterday.
Had some moments, but
yeah, he did. But
boy, did we have some options in the SEC. Alabama could have been here for the second time this year, which would have been a first. Could have gone with Auburn. Thought about going with Auburn. Well, they blew that game. Auburn may be the worst team in the conference.
Because you can look at State and say they're getting better.
You can't say Auburn.
Auburn's just constantly pointing fingers.
Their offensive numbers yesterday were putrid.
Kentucky and Auburn next week.
Can't wait. You could have gone with Kentucky. Absolutely. Florida, maybe figuring something out there.
Well, that resume still keeps taking a hit for Ole Miss.
Yeah. But Oklahoma is the answer here.
Ugh.
I said it. Don't forget. I got my proof right. I got my little.
Your helmet schedule?
6-6 is what I wrote down next to Oklahoma.
What was mine? You didn't keep up with mine, did you?
I didn't keep up with you. I think you were around the same, though.
Yeah.
We knew. They're a little worse than I thought, though.
We did say that they were going to. We both said they were going to be. They were going to struggle at times.
I saw a great. I think it was a tweet. Or I saw it was in a text. I don't know if it was Brian Nelson or Brian McDuff, one of my two friends. But they said, Lincoln Riley leaving torpedoed two of the greatest programs in college football. Like, how did that happen? But, I mean, they just got manhandled by South Carolina. They're not ready to be here. And
I don't know what South Carolina is, by the way.
I don't either. Also, McDuff had a great point in there. He's like, there is a scenario where Brent Venables works for Jeff Lebby next year.
I would sign up for that today, buddy.
Sign up for that today.
Because as far as the defensive coordinator is concerned, it's one of the best in the country.
As good as it gets. But they're just not ready. And you look at Oklahoma's schedule, which I'll do right here. I mean, so what are they right now? What is Oklahoma's record right now?
4-3?
Is that right? That 1-2-3-4. Yes, they're 4-3. At Ole Miss.
And haven't really beaten anybody of substance.
No, their four wins are Temple, Houston, Tulane,
Auburn.
They're at Ole Miss. That's a loss.
Yes.
So 4-4. They got Maine. I'm just saying watch out, but they should win. But watch out.
Please, take it from us.
At Missouri, by the way, Brady Cook may just become my favorite player on the SEC outside of Mississippi State. That guy is, I mean, he takes a lot of heat.
Yeah.
But what he said, he's like, I wasn't going to miss this game. I wasn't going to go to the hospital. I'm fine.
He's good, too.
He's good, yeah. They're going to lose that game. They'll lose that Missouri. They host Alabama. Ooh. And then they go to LSU. Buddy, they are staring 5-7 right in the face.
Have fun
right
in Tiger it. Stadium. They'll eat them alive.
Oh, dude, they're not ready for that.
Their defense yesterday was kind of an anomaly. Like their defense has been good.
They gave up two defensive touchdowns.
Okay, so the defense really wasn't
the
issue.
They had a pick six and a fumble recovery for a touchdown.
Okay.
Their offense is just it's putrid.
The defense is solid.
Oklahoma, the two worst teams in the conference, I don't think State's the worst team in the conference right now. Two worst teams in the conference are Oklahoma and Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And somehow Oklahoma beat Auburn at Auburn.
No coffee for Derek Cody, Leah Beasley, and the rest of the Oklahoma Sooners.
and no coffee for the former Mississippi State people at Auburn too. Let's just throw them all together.
Well,
Rhett, John, Lee Van Horn,
all of them. Yeah. Last but not least, nationally, I had some options too. Could have gone with USC. Lost to Maryland. I saw another. The college football Twitter has been on point this year. I think it was Reddit College Football that said, USC blew up the Pac-12 to lose four games in the Big Ten. They lost to Maryland.
Amazing.
But that said, I didn't pick them. I picked another Big Ten school, Michigan. Michigan is in real trouble. I think they already have four losses, right?
I predicted this with Michigan, by the way.
Oh, yeah. I think we all knew they would take a step
Sharon
back.
Sharon Moore is that's a disaster.
We all knew they would take a step back. There's no question about that. But what's happened is more than that at this point. How many losses is Michigan? They have one, two. They have three losses already, right? They still have to play Oregon.
Loss.
They still have to play Indiana.
Loss.
They still have to play Ohio State.
Loss.
So that's six. You're 6-6. This weekend, is it this weekend? This weekend is the Paul Bunyan Trophy game with Michigan State. And you know Michigan State would love nothing more than to show up and just smack them around.
The Fighting Frommers.
And
Sam Schuylers.
I always pull for Michigan State in this game. Because maybe it's an MSU-UM thing.
I like Michigan State.
Also, the Paul Bunyan Trophy, one of my favorite trophies in all. It's not the axe? This is the Paul Bunyan Trophy. It's a trophy of Paul Bunyan.
What's the axe? Minnesota?
That's Minnesota, Wisconsin. That is my favorite trophy.
Yes.
So...
What's the pig? The Rose of...
Floyd of Rosedale? That, I believe...
Minnesota
I think it's Minnesota, Iowa. Let's see if I'm right. Floyd of Rosedale is Iowa, Minnesota. That...
The Big Ten has the best, absolute best
They're the best trophies. I love Paul Bunyan's axe the most because of how you get it. Like, whoever wins runs to the sideline to claim it. So if Minnesota has won last year... And Wisconsin wins this year. Wisconsin runs to Minnesota's sideline and just takes the axe. You try that with a golden egg, somebody might pull out a sword or a gun.
Kill someone.
All right.
Somebody has a trident.
Michigan, they're in real trouble. Shout out to Starkville's own Luke Altmyer, by the way. Illinois very much in the Big Ten discussion. Everybody's been focused on Indiana. I love Coach Siggs. They got game day this week. But Illinois is pretty good.
Burt, Luke Altmyer, Trey Petty. I mean, they're one of us.
Yeah.
One of us.
We accept you, one of us. Michigan, though.
Burt, I talked to him on the sidelines last year at Starkville High.
Yeah.
If he was wearing like a Starkville High pullover, nobody would bat an eye. If he was just like transplanted to Mississippi.
Don't tell me we wouldn't see Burt every Thursday at Starkville Cafe.
Oh, yeah.
Don't tell me we wouldn't do it.
He would be living it up at Two Brothers.
Just call him Burt.
That's what I call him.
He's what you're calling
him. He's Burt at all times. Okay. He's got two Starkville boys at quarterback, too, and Luke is killing it.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
I'm super happy for that kid.
Tomorrow's show, whatever Lebby has to say, we'll recap that. SEC picks, no differences this past weekend because Robbie played defense.
I did not.
Well, maybe this week I can get back into the game down two picks.
Don't forget, you allowed me to pick first on several of those games.
I get it.
I can't play defense when I'm picking first.
You read my mind somehow.
It was ESPN. It's that ESPN I have.
Got that ESPN. All right. Got to you guys tomorrow. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. The Rock says. The Rock says, know your damn role. Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.